Can't decide and torn between a romantic, comedy, action, or an indie film to watch for the weekend? Well, well, well. Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast is your ultimate guide to the latest movies. Join us as we dissect the latest on the blockbusters. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Movie Podcast, brought to you by GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Stacey.
And I'm your co-host, Sarah.
And today, the first movie we're talking about is Love, Simon.
I've heard so many good things about this.
It was really, I won't go into it just yet.
Okay.
Love, Simon, and I tend to say this on this podcast, I went in not knowing very much about it, other than that it was about a gay teenager and that he sort of gets outed. Not the way he wanted, and that it would be sort of a teen romancy thing, and that's all I knew going into it.
Sometimes that's the best way to go into a movie, though. You know, cuts down on the preconceived notions and expectations.
Right. Well, and I'm so glad that they called this movie Love, Simon, because it's actually based off of Becky Albert Talley's book Simon versus the Homo Sapiens Agenda,
which that's a mouthful.
If it had had that title, I would have thought it was something like Scott Pilgrim versus the World. And I like Scott Pilgrim, but I didn't immediately want to see that when I first saw it. So I would have been like, yeah, pass.
Next.
But they thankfully changed the name to Love, Simon. And Love, Simon, Simon Spears, I had to stop and think about his last name. He starts open with a narration and he talks about how he's just like everybody else and he has these friends and his family is really great and he actually really likes his younger sister. It's just like everyone else's life except he's gay. And there's this sort of school blog or whatever that they have where people can post different things, and I guess it goes out to all the kids at the high school. Mm-hmm. And someone ends up posting anonymously about how they're gay and no one knows. And so Simon feels sort of an affinity with this person and starts emailing them.
Okay.
But then a third person gets a hold of his emails and sort of holds it over his head and ends up eventually outing him. And so it's Simon dealing with A, first this person's blackmailing him, and then B, when he does get outed, having to deal with that. So it's that whole thing.
Okay. Yeah. Don't do that, people.
That's really, yeah. So the situation that first sets it up is a little sort of, you have to kind of just sort of go with it to begin with, because Simon, not knowing who this person is, and only, they're not saying their name, they just go by the name Blue, which is a nickname, immediately starts like opening up a lot to this person through email. And I'm just like,
Maybe because it's that, you know, hiding behind your keyboard kind of thing. It's easier to do that anonymously or something.
You really feel that comfortable?
Well, I wouldn't, but
like that, I had a hard time. I was like, dude, why are you telling him all this immediately? You don't know this person. And this is like your second, third email. And you're like telling him what?
Yeah. Sometimes though, in order to further the plot, I think that happens because otherwise it's just, you know, 45 minute montage of emails. Right.
And there's also, to further the plot, the way these emails get found, because he's using the school library's computer.
Oh, okay.
But his vice principal comes by, and so he like quickly sleeps the screen, but doesn't log out, and then walks away. And it's just like,
okay,
you're awfully nervous about anyone knowing you have these emails the whole time. Why are you doing this on the school computer? Just like, really? You have it on your phone. So why aren't you just using your phone? Okay, fine. Whatever. Well, again, let's just get on with it. I'll go with it. We need to get to the conflict of the movie. So fine. He somehow has to have someone else knows about these emails in order for the story to continue. Okay.
Right.
So then there is him trying, it's done in this really cute way where he doesn't know who Blue is either, but he keeps trying to figure it out. And so you see things sort of from his imagination. As he's reading these emails, you hear the voice and you sort of see, at first you only see like up to a person's chin, but not their whole face. Mm-hmm. And then each time he thinks, oh, maybe that person's blue, it changes to that person. So it starts with a friend and then it goes to a different person who's a student at the school, but he's not really friends with. And then it goes to someone else. So each time he thinks maybe this person's blue, the person reading the emails changes to that actor. Mm-hmm. And I thought they did a really good job of keeping Blue's identity a secret. Mm-hmm. Because I really didn't know until the very end, until Blue's actually revealed who Blue is.
Right.
And I kept thinking from the clues, like, it was totally someone else completely different, and it wasn't them. Someone Simon didn't even think of, and it wasn't them either. And I'm just like, oh, man. I really kind of didn't see that coming. Okay.
And we can't say it, because, of course, we really do not want to give away something that experience for yourself.
Yeah, it was really good. And I liked the way they did a lot of things in this movie, and that evidently this is the first movie with a first romance movie with the gay main protagonist, I think.
Okay.
And that was what interested the studio about it, was that there had never really been one where the gay character was the main character. Mm-hmm. Like, you might sometimes have that where there's a side character who's
the gay,
gay
best friend,
but you never got it as this is the gay person's love story and seeing it from that perspective. But they also, for the most part, people's reactions are pretty good about him being gay.
Okay.
And that actually he has a confrontation with his friends, and his friends aren't upset that he's gay and didn't tell them. Not upset about either of those, but rather upset because he was being blackmailed, he ended up lying to them. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole thing they're upset about. And it's like, you being gay does not figure into this. We don't even talk about it when we finally have the confrontation with the friends. And I'm just like, on the one hand, cool that this is like absolutely, you know, not anything we're going to make a deal over. But on the other hand, the timing for that was a little off for me, because mm-hmm. it's right. He gets outed over Christmas break. But then doesn't talk to anyone over Christmas break. And so he doesn't see his friends until it's the first day back to school. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, is this really the time? Because you've got to imagine, even if you're mad at him, you know he's going to be in a tough place because he's just been outed. Couldn't you, like, be mad later?
Right.
After school?
Right.
Could we just hold this off while he's at school and be supportive friends until after? No? Okay, whatever.
Whatever. Just made me think of a friend of mine who came out. We were in college together, and he came out, I don't know, 5 years or so after college, and most of his friends' reactions were like,
yeah.
And he didn't, not that he wanted people to be upset, but he kind of was like, wait, so no one's surprised?
Yeah.
We were all like, well, we still love you regardless, but yeah, we knew.
Well, there is actually a scene very early in the movie, because there is one kid before Simon at the school who is out and openly gay, and he's a little feminine. Mm. And he, I guess it's a memory for Simon. You see him tell his friends that he's gay, and they're just like, oh, what? No, I had no idea. And then one of them says, like, I completely couldn't have guessed. And the other friend whispers to her, it's like, okay, you're overdoing it. That's a little much.
Back it off a little bit.
Like, we want it to be believable that we didn't know. But clearly, obviously, they kind of knew. But there's also his confrontation with the person who is blackmailing him after he's outed. The person comes up to apologize because they outed him to get something happened to them, and they wanted the attention off of them, so they outed him to get the attention on him, and they come up to apologize. And I think it's very interesting that he is certainly angry that he was, you know, outed and now everyone knows he's gay, but he's also almost more angry at the fact that it wasn't his choice to come out. That not so much it's just that people know I'm gay, but I should have been able to say it the way I wanted, when I wanted,
well, sure,
to who I wanted to tell it to.
Absolutely.
That wasn't your choice to make.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yes, actually, excellent point. That's completely right.
Yes. You know, one thing I find interesting about this is that on Rotten Tomatoes, which I often look at to see what people are thinking about a movie, mm-hmm. the critics and the audience, the critics' score is 92% and the audience score is 91%. They very rarely agree.
Yeah.
And they, you know, you rarely get things that high. So
yeah, I will go with that. I really like this movie. And there's actually, there's this great scene in it, and you can find it on YouTube because I did find it later just because I wanted to see if like someone had put it up from like a not legal copy, but mm-hmm. it's actually like legally up there on like Movie Clips or something, where if you type in like Love, Simon, and then why is straight the default, there's this great scene where he writes an email to Blue of like, I part of the reason I haven't come out is, why should I have to come out? Why do only gay people have to come out?
Yeah.
So then you see this scene where he's imagining his friends all coming out as straight to their parents.
That's awesome.
And the reactions that the parents give are, you know, somewhat similar to some of the reactions that gay people have gotten from their parents.
Have you tried not being straight?
Well, it's just like, when they first say it, like, one of the fathers, like, chokes on his food, and one of the mothers is like, you get that from your father's side of the family. And it's just like, what? And then one of the fathers, like, slams his hand down and gets up from the dinner table. And it's like, yeah, actually, this is ridiculous, because, you know, why would you be upset about that? But why would you be upset about that if your child's gay? Like, the child didn't change, and...
Right.
Yeah. So I really loved that scene. I thought that was great. I laughed out loud, and everyone in the theater with me laughed out loud. Abby's mother in that is really fantastic.
Nice.
So overall, yeah, I would agree with the Rotten Tomatoes score. This was a really good movie, and it was a really sweet, just regular teen romance-ish movie, just with the thing of, oh, the main character's gay. And that's all, and nothing else is different, so what does that matter?
So it is a romance movie? I mean, from what's been described, it doesn't sound like...
It has a sort of romance-y end.
Okay.
I will say that there is a scene at the end that feels very much like the end of any other typical teen romance-y thing. So when you're walking out as the movie's ended, just it leaves you with the feeling of, oh, sweet teen romance, wasn't that adorable, sort of thing. Okay. But yeah, for the most part, it's him dealing with, I'm falling in love with this person who I don't know through emails and trying to figure out who they are, while at the same time being blackmailed by this person who knows about my emails. And then once that's out, I have to deal with that whole situation. And yeah, so it's not romance for the most, but it just ends feeling romance-y, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, I guess I'm trying to think now. I don't think I've seen too many teen romance-y things. So maybe I don't know what those feel like to begin with. That's not a genre I... So it made me think at the end a bit like the end of 16 Candles.
Okay.
So if you think of it in that way, where in 16 Candles, you know, she's dealing with the fact that everyone forgot her birthday and she's a teenager and all that
crap. Her sister's getting married. And
she likes the boy and he won't notice her. So it's not really a romance for 16 Candles either. But then you, at the end, get the boy with the birthday cake and all that. So it feels very nice and sweet and sort of tied up with the bow at the end. It's that sort of same thing of, he likes Blue. He doesn't know who Blue is. And dealing with all the things that go along with being a teenager, because teenagehood and high school.
No, thank you.
Yeah, just pass. Totally pass. And again, that is, like, for most of the kids at the high school, they're pretty okay when the whole outing thing comes. Except, of course, there are like the two requisite jerks, because of course there are.
Well, sure.
And they're there the whole time. They're absolutely horrible to the kid who is already out. But that kid's great because he always has a smart one-liner to come back at them and always ends up winning that competition. So I'm just like, love you.
And those two are probably secretly gay anyway. It's always the ones who protest too much.
Well, they're absolute jerks. And they do something really not cool at one point on a lunch table. Mm. And Simon's theater teacher, who's kind of funny in this film because she's very much like, why am I here? I don't get paid enough to deal with these kids. I don't want to be here and life sucks, sort of thing. But she like comes in like a lioness and just completely talks them down in front of like the whole lunchroom. And it's, I love, that was the one scene I really liked her in, because the rest I was just sort of like, I don't know that we need this comedic character. But then she comes in with that and I was like, yes. Oh.
You go, round random of applause, cranky theater drama teacher.
And Simon's parents in this film are played by Jennifer Garner.
Love her.
And Josh Duhamel. How do you say that?
Duhamel? I think it's Duhamel.
That guy.
But I could be totally wrong.
And he's got a really... It threw me off at first why he hadn't come out to his family, because... As he starts with the narration at the beginning, they're very cool. His mother's like, she was the valedictorian and his father was the star quarterback, but they didn't peak in high school. They're still doing really well. His mother's very intelligent. His sister likes to cook, and he's always really nice about his sister's cooking, even if it's terrible. Like, they have this nice, sweet family relationship. And actually, at one point, they sit down to watch a family movie, and it's like, oh, what should we watch? And the mother suggests, like, The Affair. And the daughter's like, no, we can't watch that. It's got a bunch of sex scenes. And the mother's like, oh, heaven forbid that I should sit down and watch people making love with my family. Like, that's not a big deal. Why are we talking? She's like, she's like, yeah, let's get with it. It's okay. So they do really well, too. Especially Jennifer Garner has a scene later with Simon when they're out. And at one point he comes home drunk and they're sitting on the couch and they call him in and he's trying to act like he's not drunk. And then as he leaves the room, they're like, so he was totally drunk, right? Yeah. How do we feel about this? It's like, well, he came home and so that's good. So we just won't say anything. Like, they're pretty cool parents.
So kind of the complete opposite of last week's episode with the blocker parents.
The blocker parents. This would have been John Cena's wife sort of parenting form of like, let's look at this rationally. Our child's grown up and making semi-decent choices given circumstances. So we're good. We're fine. Mm-hmm. So yeah, movie, really good movie, really sweet movie. Loved it.
Excellent.
So we're going to take a short break. Stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Movie Podcast.
Want to know the latest and hottest music hitting the airwaves? Don't be left out. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Music Podcast. Geek keeps you on the loop with everything you need to know from pop, rock, hip-hop, and the top 40. And we'll throw in news of your favorite artists, concert and tour dates, and so much more. Listen no further, because this is the Gold Standard in Music Podcast.
Welcome back. You're listening to the GSMC Movie Podcast. And our second movie doesn't really tie into the first, but it was something I was interested to see because I had seen the animated version of it, and that's Ghost in the Shell. And this is the film came out, was it last year or maybe near the end of the year before, with Scarlett Johansson, who plays the Major, whose brain has been put into a sort of robotic body.
Oh, so she's a Cyberman. Sorry, I've been watching way too much Doctor Who lately.
This kind of ties in with something we talked about on one of our social media podcast things of AI and the robots and what is real. And that's kind of what's being dealt with in both the animated and real life version of this movie is dealing
so it
with...
out March 31st, 2017, just to... Okay. Fulfill my role of I look stuff up.
Yes, that's good. I mean, we'll eventually get there where technology can do it very quickly and just through our brains without having to move our fingers. Yeah. But we're not there yet. So
anyway, animated.
That's why Sarah's here.
Non-animated.
So yeah, so the animated film is by Mamoru Oshii, and he's done a lot of different animated films, and that's how I saw it, is because a friend was very much an Oshii fan, and so we just went through and watched a whole bunch of different Oshii things, and like, there was the Pat Labor films, which felt very much like Pacific Rim and a lot of influences. So this is the live action version. And even before this film came out, there was already controversy about it because of the choice to cast Scarlett Johansson. Because Oshii's Japanese, the original animation was Japanese and in Japanese, and the characters all had Japanese names.
Right.
And so there was, you know, a lot of cry about whitewashing. And that cry is somewhat justified. Because save for the person who plays Scarlett Johansson's sort of captain boss, leader of Section 9, which is the sort of government agency she works for, all the main actors are Caucasian. Even though,
and it's not like there aren't Asian actors out there who are very talented and could play these roles.
And it's, I'm not quite sure what year it's supposed to be. It's definitely supposed to be somewhat futuristic. And if you've ever seen the trailer, you can tell because there's like giant 3D hologram advertisements of things, which I think would actually be amazingly distracting and cause a whole lot of car accidents when they're first put out. Because there's things like these giant 3D hologram koi fish that like cross the street swimming. And I was just like, that would...
That would freak me out.
I would not pay attention to anything else. I would be completely distracted by that.
I'd be slamming on my brakes. People would be rear-ending me. Yeah.
So yeah, and a lot of the characters in both the animated and live-action film have technical enhancements. So Scarlett Johansson's character, her whole body is a robot, but then there's another character whose like eyes are camera lenses or something, and they've all got
that's not creepy,
right? And they've all got the ability to sort of talk to each other through their minds without saying anything. They're called mind comms. Mm-hmm. And Scarlett Johansson, the story is that as part of Section 9, they do policey somethings.
Is that the technical term?
I'm still a little confused on what Section 9 does, like, outside of this story. Mm-hmm. But they go in because eventually a robot hacks into one of the humans who has tech advances and then ends up killing it. And then it turns out several people who work for the same company have all been killed by possibly robots or cyborgs or what have you. And they're trying to figure out who's going around killing the people who work for this tech company. And part of it's like through the web. The person who's doing it is completely on the other side of the web, so we can't physically get to them. And we have to like hack into a geisha by attaching our own brain to the geisha to find them.
Did you just say the phrase, we have to hack into a geisha?
Yes. Yes, yes.
I mean, I heard you, but I really thought I would just double check that I was hearing that correctly, because that's not a sentence that when I woke up this morning, I thought anyone would be uttering in my presence.
And I mean, as I said it, I was visualizing it in my head, so it didn't sound weird to me at all, because I'm visualizing the geisha we have to hack into. But realize, yeah, that if you haven't seen either of these films, that is a strange sentence. What the heck did I just say? But yeah, like computer hacking into the geisha, not hacking with an axe.
Yeah, I actually...
Listeners, just in case you were confused.
At least that part I got, but yeah, gross.
So, yeah, there's a lot of people with various different types of enhancements, and there's discussion a couple of times about the enhancements and whether or not we should have the enhancements, and there's, of course, this sort of background philosophical question of what does it mean to be human and how human are we with these tech enhancements? If my whole body is made of metal and computer chips, am I still human or not?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I think that was definitely brought up in the first one. And I feel like if you haven't seen the animated film, this might have been a confusing film beyond even the hacking into a geisha. It wasn't confusing for me because I had seen the animated film, and there's a lot that they do almost not quite shot for shot, but sort of all the action scenes in this were in the animated film. So there's the first action scene, which was in the trailer, where she like burst through the glass window.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, if not in the first animated film, definitely is one of them. Because I remember the whole thing with the geisha who hacks into somebody else. And then there's a scene where she's fighting in water, which was also in the anime. So it's like, so you took all the action pieces and just made them live, but then you kind of changed the story. Why? I'm not quite sure. Because we're still dealing with the exact same whole thing of she can't remember before. She's been told she was in an accident and they couldn't save her body, but they could save her brain, and that was worth saving. And then the title Ghost in the Shell comes from you're believed to have a ghost, sort of like your soul.
Mm-hmm.
Even when you're, you know, 99.8% metal, that your ghost is still there, and so you're a ghost in the shell,
right?
But in in both cases, the animated and the live action, the person they're trying to find who's killing in this film, killing the scientists, sort of takes an interest in the major because she's sort of the most metal or least human or hard to describe, most computer-like the person they're trying to find, and, you know, kind of wants to know what her thought process is on that. But yeah, it's hard to think about if you haven't seen. Like, it's dealing with a lot of hard questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not quite sure it answers them.
Okay.
In either film.
Okay.
But the ending for the animated film felt more realistic, given everything that we are told about the Major in this film, including the fact that, yes, the whitewashing claims are completely true, because, sorry to spoil this, we do find out later that her original character was Japanese.
Oh, geez.
And it's just like...
And they put her in a white robot shell, or whatever you would call it.
And it's just, it's again, it's not clear what year this is supposed to be. There's talk, the storyline they give her to make up for the memory she can't remember is that her parents were trying to immigrate to this country, and their boat sank, and she's the only one who survived. So supposedly, in whatever future place this Tokyo is, it's more diverse, I guess. Mm-hmm. Not just, oh, Tokyo, you know, mostly Japanese, but that has become a very much metropolitan city, and where all the metropolitan cities have people of different races. And even on their Section 9 team, the leader is Japanese, the Major is Caucasian, Batu, who's sort of her main partner, is Caucasian, mm-hmm. but then there's another Asian guy, and then there is a woman who seems to be possibly biracial, African and Caucasian.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to make it look, you know, oh, hey, this is a 21st, 22nd, whatever time period modern city we're in, and so that means, you know, people of all races, even if we're in Japan, but then... everyone who's not Caucasian is just sort of off to the side, because
mm-hmm.
like the main people you deal with is Scarlett Johansson and Batu, who the actor's name
Pilu Asbe. I mean, it's yeah,
I believe he's from Game of Thrones.
Okay,
he's in it, and then the bad guy they're looking for over the web is Caucasian, and the person who runs the company that bad guy is trying to take down is Caucasian, mm-hmm. and the main scientist who helped build Scarlett Johansson is played by Juliette Binoche,
mm-hmm.
and it's just like, okay, so even though we're in Japan and this is supposed to be a modern city, all the main people are Caucasian,
right? Yeah okay. I mean, at least, okay, I can appreciate trying to have a diverse cast. I'm okay with that, but at least make your main characters, if she was right. supposed to be an Asian person, don't put her in the Scarlett Johansson robot suit. Changing the subject, I have a question for you, mm-hmm. since you've seen the animated.
Yes.
I am looking at the poster for the animated, and I watched watched the little trailer that IMDb had.
Mm-hmm.
Does the woman wear clothes?
Yeah. That's So I was questioning how they were going to do that in this, and you can kind of see it in the trailer with Scarlett Johansson, in that it looks, she takes off like a robe, and it kind of looks like she's naked because she has like invisibility cloaking powers or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a suit for Scarlett Johansson. In the animated, it's her skin actually does that or something, because, again, she's a robot.
Mm-hmm.
She is naked, not all the time, but there, at least a couple of times. And there's another robot in here who's female who also gets naked for and some reason. And it's just like, okay.
And obviously, a man built this robot, because she is quite well endowed. It's a robot.
But she's also an animation, so...
Right.
Like, if you look at it, and one of the things I thought was really interesting, and I'm not sure if they, like, put, you know, things to stand on or something. In the animation, the Major is quite small compared to Batu. Mm-hmm. And in the live action, there are times where Scarlett Johansson is standing next to a dude whose name I won't try and pronounce again,
it's Batu. It's Danish.
And there's a definite height difference, and I was like, oh, we really tried to stick with that, with the height thing. Or he's just actually really tall. I'm not sure that this was on purpose, or just, you know, it happened to work out that way, that in the animated and in this one, there's both a major height difference between her and her partner. Either way it works, I guess. Sure, whatever. We'll go with that. But yeah, like, again, if you haven't seen the animated, I'm sure you would have a lot of questions watching this film. And it's only because I saw the animated and know where we're going that I wasn't just like, wait, what? You have the order. Why were you there to begin with? And now why are we at this other place? And who are these people who were trying to kill them? And why did they come in? Like, what is going on? Like, I I feel like even beyond like, and I heard this about the Harry Potters, you know, if you hadn't read it, that they got confusing, especially later on. I had read them, so they weren't confusing to me.
Right.
I feel this is like that to like the eighth degree, because it's just like it was confusing watching the animated. But thankfully, at least I knew where the story was going to follow along watching the story as it happened.
Mm-hmm.
If you were just watching this and had no clue what was happening in the you wouldn't have a clue what was happening in the story. It would just be like, who are they chasing down and why? And who's this person they're trying to catch? And wait, where did this person come? And who are you exactly? And what just happened there?
Well, I can answer your question of the height because I look stuff up.
Yes,
and you. Scarlett Johansson is 5'3".
Oh, really?
So relatively short. Mm-hmm. And the man who plays Batu, whose name we aren't attempting to pronounce because it's Danish, is 6 foot. So not a like huge height difference, but significant enough.
And fits the original. But yeah, I mean, and Oshii, the director, said something about this film in essentially saying, I don't hate this film, but I'm not sure that he super loved it either. But when that whole whitewashing thing came up and Scarlett Johansson said, you know, I would never play someone of a different race, except then, okay.
Well, yeah, your brain is a different race. Does that still can't, yeah. How does that work?
Know. Yeah. It's just, yeah, that. Yeah.
Will you stop dragging me into like
the political discussions?
Not political discussions. Weird discussions about androids and AI and things,
what is
and,
real.
And what is real. And I granted that other conversation was on the social media podcast, but my brain hurts now, Stacey, and I just want a nap.
The world we live in, you know, and beyond the whole flying cars thing, I'm also really upset that we're not yet to the level that you see like in this film where I can like plug my brain into the web and access it that way and like download kung fu like the Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, I definitely want to get to that, especially because studying is a pain. So even beyond the flying cars, tech people, get to the brain downloading immediately. I demand it.
On that note.
On that note, we're going to end for today. Thank you for listening to the GSMC Movie Podcast.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.